call to remembrance. You know, when our Father created these bodies, it's pretty magnificent, you know, that we have recall. We're going to talk about the word memorial. You know, that's something that you put in place to help you remember something. And I think in life, as we move along, sometimes we tag things that make it special, that we can call to remembrance. To remember or call to remember means to think. And that's something people need to do a lot of for themselves. Think things through. Think how I came to be here. Think not what I can do for myself, but what I can do for the Father and my brethren. That's one of the things that is a mark of God's people. That is a mark. And incidentally, the word zakar in the Hebrew tongue means to mark, to recognize. For many times in life, we meditate, and in meditation, sometimes you can go back almost to the time you were a baby, remembering things that happened. And of course, we know that inasmuch as we came from the Father, memories should go back a lot further than that, but they don't. Why? God blocked it so that we can only remember this earth age. But He did leave those markers in His Word, which you're supposed to believe, that go into that first earth age and that was. To recall is when one consciously or subconsciously makes themselves become aware of things they have experienced. But usually you must always remember it is something that you had to experience that you recall. So thinking is that thought process has a great deal to do with this, and it is for this reason that you should spend a considerable amount of time in your Father's Word, because that's what brings blessings, is to be able to think and recall in some of the things that He has taught you. It is not necessary that you remember every scripture, every verse in our Father's Word. It just won't happen for most of us, all right? There's very few that are blessed with total recall. And if it were necessary, God would have given it to all of us. What a help that would have been, huh? But as long as you recall the overall plan. And God doesn't expect that much from His children. Why? He does everything by steps. For example, the whole book of Revelation, there's only 7 steps. But let me tell you something. Consider it like a stairway. Call it a stairway to heaven if you want to. You cross up one of those steps, and I want to see you climb to the top. You're not going to. You've got to keep everything in chronological order as your Father simply and plainly told you it's going to come to pass. As an example, at this Passover, we had some, what do I want to call them? Well, maybe I better not call them anything. Nuts. Okay. That we're trying to say Satan was already on earth and in the abyss. That is about the stupidest statement that anyone could ever make. You know, it's a good way to get fooled, especially in these end times. Can't count to 7. So our Father makes it so simple. If you just listen to Him and let His Word flow, and keep things in the order in which He gives them to you. Get that recall. If someone makes a misstatement to you, if it doesn't fit the pattern of God's Word, you should be on to it just that quick. And you should cast it out, as all false teaching should be cast out. Fantastic, our Father's Word. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 14th chapter of the great book of John. It's on that time that Jesus said, hey, I'm about to go back to the Father, and in my Father's house there are many mansions, meaning resting places. And you don't have to wait until death to join in one of those resting places today. You can rest in the Father and the Son, because they will protect you. And we're going to pick up our starting scripture there by taking verse 26 of John 14, when he continues the statement that inasmuch as I'm gone, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you unprotected. I'm going to send you someone. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, not maybe, will send in my name. Whose name? Christ's name. There you have the triune Godhead. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, do you realize there's a qualification on that? Many people say, well, the Holy Spirit gave me the whole thing. That's not what that says. Not what it says at all. You're a very poor reader if that's what you got from it. It says, I'll call you to remembrance the things that I have taught you, the things that you have learned from my word. So you see, you've got to get into the word before it can be called to mind. It seems that, and the Spirit sometimes gives some almost perfect recall to be able to recall Scripture and the things that Jesus has taught. But that's the qualifier. The things that I have taught. Didn't say he was going to have you recall garbage that you hear out on sidelines. But what Christ taught. The doctrine of Christ, not the doctrine of has-beens and Pharisees. Okay. But the true Word of God. Listen. This is not a generation to drift away from the true teachings of Christ. You're flirting with danger, and you're flirting with misleading people. And listen, you want to get in trouble with the Father? Mislead some of His sheep. That's why you want to stick to the Word. After all, a child can understand and remember seven steps. That's not difficult. What if it was 244 steps? You know, many of us might have trouble with that. But seven? Seven steps? I don't think anyone should have a problem with that. That is for as confusing steps, confusing the way. Important. The Holy Spirit will assist you only in remembering what Christ taught when He walked this earth. When He began the Scripture back in the book of Genesis chapter 1, because He was with God at that time. John declares that, the very first chapter. Okay, that He was with Him in the beginning. The Word was with God. Christ is the Word. So it is ever so important for one to exercise their memory, because you know what the memory is a lot like? It's a lot like a muscle in your arm. You know, if you don't use a muscle in your arm, it gets all flabby and hangs down here instead of standing up like that. But your mind is the same way. Your mind will grow flabby, lazy, taking too many shortcuts, and pretty soon you take an attitude of, I just don't care. Or an attitude of ego. I'm special. God gives everything to me on a silver platter. I don't have to study like those people. Okay? You're looking at a freak and a nut when you see something like that. There's one Christ. There will never be another. Except the false Christ. Don't be in his camp. Christ taught. The Father and the Holy Spirit will help you remember what it was he taught on earth. That is ever important. And that's why you should always study chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you receive what Christ taught. Not what some man teaches, this man or any other man, because God foretold us all things through the Son. Now, I want you to turn with me to Psalms, the ninth Psalm. Let's just kind of do a little exercise on memory here from the Word of God. Psalms 9. This psalm, when we say Laban, has to do with the death of Goliath. All right, it's when David, that small boy, made a great difference, and it was his prayer, quite frankly, or his statement to the giant, that should be your slogan of life today. The fact is, my God will take care of this. That's why David didn't mind crossing that stream. That's why David didn't mind picking up that stone. My God will conquer you, giant. So it is today, if you're truly in a close walk with Him, that is to say, the Father. Verse 1 of 9, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, not part of it, all of it. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I'm going to tell about it. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to share the great things that the Father has done for me. That's what you should be as a Christian. You shouldn't have to even tell it. Your very life itself should be a witness that, hey, here's a person that God blesses. God blesses many in different ways, but I guarantee you, don't ever leave Him, for He will never leave you. Some people leave God. It wasn't God that left. It was the person. And I feel sorry for him. I really do. Stick with your Father. That is eternal. The ways of the world are very short and rocky. Verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praises to Thy name, O Thou Most High. And He is. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at Thy presence. And that's a true statement. Hey, you don't believe it? Go back and look what happened the day of David and Goliath. The enemy fell. It wasn't that little boy. It wasn't him at all. Why? Who took care of him? God did. You must believe God is in control. And the enemy shall perish. Verse 4. For Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Who maintained it? God did. As long as you do right, God is going to maintain that path for you. Thou settest in the throne judging right. In other words, righteousness or righteously. God always judges right. Hey, we hit some rough bumps every once in a while. But I guarantee you that God's going to take care of it. You see, there's one thing you want to be real sure that you're aware of. God doesn't forget anything. It's in the book. It's written. Right? Unless you repent, and then it's blotted out. You don't have to worry about your Father forgetting. If an enemy does something to you, hey, He's not going to forget. Verse 5, Thou hast rebuked the heathen, or probably better translated, nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. There's good. What is the sentence on Satan in Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 and 19? He's already sentenced to death. He's rebuked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Put out meaning blotted out. And it is, as it is written in the great book of Matthew, don't fear those that can harm your flesh body. You fear God Almighty, who can blot out your soul or cause your soul to perish. Blotted out means what? There won't be any tears shed for them, because it's like they never existed to those that overcome. Verse 6. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. That, you know what perpetual? That means forever the enemy is done for. And of course this is future. Of course it's looking forward to that millennium time. And thou hast destroyed cities their memorial, now mark that word, the word in the Hebrew is zekur. I mentioned the word zakar a moment ago, which means memory, to remember. This word memorial is zakar, which is from the word remember, because it's a memorial that is set whereby you can better remember. Okay? Their memorial is perished with them. Meaning what? No one's ever going to remember them. That's why no tears will be shed in heaven. They're gone. They're out of here. They're blotted out. And if you wonder what that term in the Greek means in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, you take a real good blotter and let a little drop of water hit on a paper and blot it and see what happens to it. It's gone. Nada. Verse 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. You want to be with him? He has prepared his throne for judgment. Do you know, many people that are Christians, oh Lord, judgment. Hey, if you're serving him, it's payday for you. You've got rewards. You've got a lot of rewards coming to you. You should be looking forward to it. As it is written in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, the only thing you can take with you is your works. And are you judged by that? No, that's your works or your payday. And you get everything you got coming to you all at one time. Isn't that a comforting thought? Well, if you're doing good works, it is. If you're doing bad works, woe the day. Not going to be a pretty day for them. So don't fear that day. Look forward to it. Quite the contrary. Serve him. Verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. Not going to be unfair. It's going to be totally fair. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprighteousness. That is equitable is the way he will judge. All right. If you love the Lord, you cannot help but know from history in his word that he is always fair. Always. I mean, always fair. Verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. That's to say, those that are injured, those that get hurt because of the ways of the world. Rest in him. He's there. And I guarantee you, he will comfort you. A refuge in times of trouble. You know, you got Matthew 24 and Mark 13 coming up on us. You might need a little comfort there. Remember, that was the last lecture we taught just before Passover was to be comfort. And the Hebrew word was as one who has lost a loved one and you go over and reach out to them and comfort them. So that particular word, the Father comforts you when you are oppressed. Why? He loves you. He is love. He is understanding. Verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Don't forget that. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Do you understand there's a qualification there? There sure is. He says, those that seek thee. What about those that are seeking the way of the world? Forget it. They got lumps coming, friend. Stand by. Stand by to hear the news. It's those that seek the Lord and take the right path that God will never forsake. He will always protect them. And this has to do, again, as I stated, with magnificent champions such as David defeating Goliath. God will see that our people have the victory. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. In a sense, you get a time fix there, because when does the Lord dwell in Zion? When he returns, of course. And so in part, we see that part of this is true all the way up into that day. One more verse. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth, there's that word, Zakar. Then he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. when you're hurt and when you cry to him, he will never forget it. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation says it's placed in a bottle until the right time. And then God will avenge. Why? Because God is jealous. God says, the vengeance belongeth to me. And I guarantee you, he will execute it. Remember, the point I want you to pick up there as we piece this together on a word study and deed study of remembrance. God never forgets. Quite frankly, I could use the old cliche, it's in the book. And guess where it's in the book by if it has to do with you? Your name. Okay. Your name. I don't know what's written in the book about you. I hope it isn't like I know some people. I hope it's good. And I hope that he loves you. And I know he does. He may not love what you're doing, but I guarantee you he loves you. Okay? But he does remember. Let's go one more verse. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. That is to say, to overcome even Satan. Who is death? Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 documents it. Satan is death. We've got the victory over him if you remember the teachings of Jesus Christ, for he is the Word, even this Word, and follow it as to the best of your ability. Hey, we all mess up. We all fall short. That's the time to practice forgiveness. So there we see in Psalms that the point I wanted to make here, I want you to go now to Ezekiel chapter 21, is that God never forgets. All right, God always remembers. So if you ever have something come down in your life, and if you think for one moment God isn't aware of it, if you think for one moment God doesn't recognize your heart, you are sadly mistaken. For when you are talking to him and reaching out to him, he's going to help you. He's going to give you that rest. I do not have one doubt whatsoever in my mind, body, and soul that that statement is absolutely true. Why? Well, Father loves you. Do you have children, or do you have somebody you love? You're going to protect them. You're going to help them. You have feelings toward them. So God is with his children. Of course, it angers him to see one of his children hurt that is trying to walk the right walk. Chapter 21, let's go with verse 21. Now, this has to do with Babylon, and this is a type of the Babylon of the book of Revelation. Do you know what the word Babylon means? It means confusion. And certainly we have people confused in this world today. Why? They don't think as they should. They don't remember the words of Christ. They don't remember the record of how it's going down, whereby they can better serve. You know, as it's written in Ecclesiastes, which is written to the flesh body, telling you how to be happy in these flesh bodies and get along pretty good, he says, there's nothing new under the sun. That has been is going to be again. Because that's the way God teaches. He gives it to you as a particular happening back in history. All you have to do is read that. If it pertains to Babylon, that's how it's going to be at the end, okay? And so that's why I say God makes it so easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And if you do it right, you're in heaven. I wish it were that easy. But anyway, that's the way God teaches. It truly is. And a child can understand if you'll listen to the Word rather than man. Verse 21, concerning Babylon. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of the two ways to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. You know what that means? False teachings, false religions. He looked in the liver. That means he looked right into the sight of people and confused them. He looked right into the sight of people to find their weaknesses. I don't know what's yours. I guarantee you Satan knows it. Verse 22. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem. Meaning what? This is Satan's way of what's going to happen in Jerusalem. To appoint captains to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint batting rams against the gates, to cast them out, and to build a fort. What does that mean spiritually? The word divination lets you know it's spiritual in the future sense. Means Satan's plan, all right? The king of Babylon, that's what he's called in the book of Revelation 23. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths, that he will call to remembrance, zakar, the iniquity, and that they may be taken. In other words, God always sees to it. If you want to be fooled, don't worry. God will even help you. Do you know where that's documented in the New Testament? If that's what you are, just a New Testament student, like buying a new pair of shoes, putting one on, throwing the other away, you'll find it written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God says, you want to believe the divination. You want to believe flyaway doctrine. Hey, I'll send you confusion, all right. Babylon confusion. Verse 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, remember ye have made your iniquity, your sin. What? Divination, false teachings. To be remembered. Zakar in the Hebrew. In that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand. Whose hand? God's hand. Think God forgets things? No. Do you think he wants you to remember? You bet he does. He wants you to remember what you've been taught. He wants you to act upon it as best you can. Mainly, he loves you. Do you know what he wants from you? Hosea 6:6. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants your love. It makes his day. How long has it been since you made God's day? It might be an answer to how long it's been since you've been blessed. Verse 25. And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. And of course, Zedekiah was a type of Antichrist. Verse 26, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. Listen carefully concerning stone of stone. 27, I will overturn it. What were we talking about? What was the subject? The throne. Those that are throned upon it, until he come whose right it is, meaning the true Messiah, the true King, and I will give it him, meaning I'll see to it. One more verse here, or two. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, concerning the Ammonites. Who were the Ammonites? It means children of Ammon, or inbred from Lot's daughters, okay? And concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter. It is furbished to consume because of the glittering. What was it that the Moabites and Ammonites did that God didn't like? They refused their own brother's passage. God expects his children to stick together. And when one takes that off path, it doesn't matter that it's family. If it's an off path, they're going to get corrected. God notices. Thus the meaning, Ammonite 29. Whilst they see vanity, you know what that is? Emptiness. They don't see anything. When they think, they don't think anything unto thee. Whilst they see vanity unto thee, whilst they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee up on the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked, whose day is come, when your iniquity shall have an end. And it's going to. Let's keep going in this, okay? Shall I cause it to return into its sheath? Incidentally, what is the sword of the Lord in Babylon of Revelation? Chapter 1, verse 16. It is the tongue of Christ, and it is a what? It's a two-edged sword. And it cuts both ways, and I guarantee you, he's not going to sheath it or put it away. His word is here. It is forever. It will not change even in the new earth age. That is to say, heaven, if you insist. God's word never changes. Do you know whose word that is? That's Christ's word taught in Mark chapter 13. Times will change, but my word shall never, never change. Verse 31, and I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men. You know who that is? The Kenites. And skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. Don't get involved with Babylon. Don't get involved with confusion. Hey, there's seven steps. Don't let somebody yank one on you. Call them benchmarks if it makes it easier for you. There's just seven benchmarks you have to be aware of to not be deceived. Well, what are you talking about? The seven seals, the seven trumps, and the seven vials. They've got to go down exactly as they're written and prophesied that it would. Not what some man says, but what God says. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't listen to man, listen to your Father. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. You know, the last time I taught before Passover, we were in this 57th Psalm, chapter of Isaiah, rather. And we were following a different thought at that time. I wonder how many of you remember what it was, okay? Speaking of calling to memory, some of you weren't here, so you're excused, all right? But we were doing a word study on the word comfort as it is utilized that God would comfort those that follow Him. But here, we're going for remembrance. Isaiah 57, and the word comfort is used in verse 6. That's what we were doing here the last time. This time we're here after remembrance, and it has to do with your generation, quite frankly. Let's go with it. Verse 8, behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. Well, who would that be? Well, it would be the false Christ instead of the true Christ, wouldn't it? Well, how could they be that deceived? Because they wouldn't study. They didn't know the chronological order of events. And art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. You just can't stay away from it. Just love that religion. Just love that teaching. Even if it's false, if it's contrary to God's word, you better be careful. Verse 9, and thou wentest to the king. Do you know what king this is? You notice it's not in uppercase. It's Satan as the spurious Messiah. You went to the king with ointment and didst increase thy perfumes. Oh, who do you do? And didst send thy messengers far off and didst debase thyself even into hell or unto hell. You know, that's Satan's home. That's where his bed is. If you want to hop in it, you better have a good time, friend, because it's going to cost you a lot. Don't be deceived. Especially in this generation. I don't care what happens to you, you hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ and be happy for an eternity. Or, adios, Goodbye, amigo. My friend. Oh, figure of speech, right. Verse 10. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. In the Hebrew, what this says is, with your travels, you live a life of from hand to mouth, and that's it. Boy, what a future that would be, huh? If you were living a life just hand to mouth, or, yeah, hand to mouth, and that was it. Boy, that, I don't see any future within that. Remember the covenants that God made, not that Satan made, because, hey, you take Satan up on his covenant, and that's just what you've got, a life of hand to mouth, and it's over. Verse 11, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? You went to this other fellow. You went to this other Christ. You jumped in his bed. Hey, I didn't say it. That's what the scripture says. You lied and hast not remembered me nor laid it to thy heart. You did. What is your heart in the Hebrew? It is your mind. It is your thought process. Our physical heart is just an old pump that pumps blood. Your thought process is your mind. And it's always translated that way. You didn't think. You didn't think it through to remember, to mark it, where you didn't go this way anymore. Learn from life. Learn from other men's mistakes that you don't fall in the same pit. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I give you every chance. God will not interfere in your life unless you ask him to. Okay? If you want to go to hell, hey, that's your right, friend. He'll give you plenty of slack. And of course, real quickly to explain why. He wants your love. If he interferes with your life and forces it, that's forced love. Is that real love? You would like to force your mate to live with you? That's not real love. Real love originates within the heart, and it goes outward. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. That's what God wants from you. He can't order you to love him. And yet it's not real unless you do. But look at the promises. Think about them. Remember them that he makes to you, whereby you can hang on and come out a champion of your people. Some people have a destiny and a purpose. And you find that in following God's word and being true to him and his way. See that you're not deceived. This one surely was. 12, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. You do it wrong. You go messing around with the wrong king. I don't care if you call yourself Christian or what. If you haven't studied the word enough to know the false Christ comes first, I'm sorry. You're in trouble. Big trouble. Does God say, I'm going to forgive it? No. Not without repentance. He said, I'm going to see that it doesn't profit you a nickel, hand-to-mouth person. 13. When thou criest, what do they cry? Save me! When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. You let those you saddled up with deliver you. I'm not going to, is what God's saying. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity, that means like a puffed-up popcorn ball, shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. He that does what? He that trusts the Father, that trusts the Father's word, is going to inherit the holy mountain. Do you know what that is? That's Mount Zion. That's God's most favorite place in the whole universe. He declares that in Ezekiel chapter 16. That's where his kingdom is going to be established. And he says, you're going to be there. You're going to inherit it. I could go on a little further if we were to go. We're not going to because of time. If we were to go to Ezekiel 44, which is the millennium, you would find out that God said, don't give the zadok, which is a Hebrew word that means the just, those that have loved me and trusted me, don't give them any inheritance. Why? I am their inheritance. That's your Father speaking of you when you believe and forbid yourself to approach this fake that he's talking about here, to create a covenant with Satan and follow him. Why? Remember what Christ taught you. Remember. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do you know who comes in the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial? Now, this is tough on children, though. That's 666. Well, I wonder what the number of the beast is. 666. Step 6. Don't let anyone rob you and tell you otherwise. Hey, it's real easy to prove what I said is right or wrong. All you have to do is go to the sixth and the sixth and the sixth and read it for yourself. That's when the Antichrist comes. Well, who comes in the seventh? The true Christ. 777. It's real easy to check out. Don't let somebody move the ladder on you. But he's a preacher. Ho, ho, ho. I've seen Sunday school children that had more Bible knowledge when they studied the Bible than some preachers or would-be preachers. I'm not knocking them now, and I'm not judging. But I'm saying, God wrote you a letter. Have you read it? He expects you to. Do you know who's going to be standing between you and God on Judgment Day? Nobody. Just you, my friend. And when you say, well, I didn't know that. He said, haven't you read it? I sent you a letter. Do you understand that's what Jesus answered when most people ask him a question? Haven't you read? What's wrong with you, dummy? He didn't say that. He just said, haven't you read? It's written. Meaning like a child can understand it. What's wrong with you? It's no wonder he sighed. Do you know what that word in the Greek means? He snorted like a horse. Just kind of disgusted. People wouldn't study. You know, how would you feel if you wrote your mate a letter and they wouldn't even read it? He doesn't like it. When you won't take the time to read his letter, to remember, to think, and to think for who? To think for yourself. Now, go with me back to Isaiah 43, where we completed in this Friday's lecture on television there. We're on television now, but I mean again. Isaiah 43, this time though with a thought in remembrance. Let's pick it up with verse 21, with remembrance being the subject, all right? Verse 21 reads, God speaking, this people have I formed for myself. Now, who did God make you for? I mean, that's what he's talking about, his children. He made you for himself. He doesn't want you hankying around with some other God or some other truth. They shall show forth my praise. Well, if you love him, you will. Or you won't be there. 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. What is Jacob? What does that mean when it's used in the Hebrew? The natural seed of Israel, all tribes. But thou hast been weary with me, O Israel. 23. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. What is God saying here? Let me just real speedily give you a quick update. In this same chapter, he has said, hey, don't you love me? Look what I did. I freed the people in Egypt. I touched the sea and opened it for them. Do you love me? Do you trust me? And what he's saying here in that statement, is while you were in captivity, I didn't even require an offering. Why? You were a slave. You couldn't produce one. Okay? So you understand that particular verse. Verse 24. Now listen carefully. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money. You could have done that. Do you know what that's symbolic of? Love. You could have loved me. It doesn't take money for that. Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices. Most people don't realize what God is saying. Don't eat the fat, it'll make you sick. Get it all to me. Don't eat fat. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Just like a father to any child, you've messed up so bad. How can I be happy with you? He's saying. 25. Even I. That's two times for emphasis. Meaning, this is Almighty God talking to you, child. You better listen. Even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I can erase it from the book. I can forgive you for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Don't want to remember them. Don't want to hear about them. Hate your sin. But you've got to make a step in there. You've got to repent. All right? Now here's why we came here, to put the cap on this particular teachings. Put me, this is God speaking, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Do you know what God has said there? Now first of all, we went to Ezekiel to prove a thing. What was the point we learned there? God doesn't forget anything. He never forgets. Why is he saying here, put me in remembrance? This whole chapter is encouragement. Put me in remembrance of what? My promises to you. What does it mean, let us plead together? Let's sit down and talk about it. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Declare how I can blot away your sins. Now, inasmuch as Father doesn't forget anything, do you know what he's doing to you here? It's a test, friend. Because he's bringing it right down where the rubber meets the road. If you haven't read it, if you haven't studied it, how could you possibly remember it? You couldn't. There would have had to have been some input. This is God's way of saying, have you read my letter? Remind me about it, and let's sit down and talk about it, and then maybe I will justify you, meaning maybe I will forgive you. He's saying here, he's putting himself on a one-on-one relationship with you to see if you remember, to see if you care. And then he says, we'll talk. Do you know what that is? That's prayer. He said, maybe we'll talk then. If you could remind him of the promises he has made, even with the conditions, I assure you he'll talk to you. You know, have you ever wondered why your prayers aren't answered? This may be one of the good reasons right here. Did you ever sit down and talk to him? Now that doesn't mean you got to get a salt shaker by some religious nut and turn three circles and have a big long robe and throw salt over your shoulder and say, oh God. Now he's intelligent. He even knows what you're thinking right now. And if you're calling him a fake, I feel sorry for you. All right, because he'll burn your hide. He knows what you're thinking. The Greek term is cardio knower, meaning heart knower. He knows what you're thinking. It means talk to me is what he's saying. Plead with me. Plead means let's see what kind of case you've got going for you here. I don't know, are you right or are you wrong? He said, you remind me of all the promises I've made to you. Do you know what they are? What has he promised you? It's all in the book. It's written. Claim them. Remind him that he made that promise and he will keep his word. Unless it's something that'll sting you. There may be something that you're too good for that he won't give you. It may be something that you had hurt yourself or one of your kids had hurt yourself with it. Trust Him enough to know He knows best for you and will always do best for you. That's why we came here, to put all this together. He said, cause me to remember. Hey, He already knows. Don't kid yourself. He just wants to know how much you know about it. And then, let's sit down. Can you imagine God saying that to you? Let's sit down then and talk about it. Do you think He doesn't care? Of course He cares. Every prayer locked away in a box, He's going to answer it. It's not going to miss, friend. We're not playing games and we're not playing church. This was your Father talking to you. Just help me to remember, God says. That's God saying, I want to know how much you know. Have you taken seriously those promises I made to you? Well, come on then, remind me. Will it do me any good to talk to Him until I remind Him? Forget it. Why should, you know, then you would be a fraud and a fake if you claimed to know the promises and didn't. Why? He knows your mind. So, find the promises. Remember them. But beloved, why have I gone on to this length and this long talking about memory? Because you should be familiar enough with Father's Word that if some freak gives you some lie on the side, your mind will automatically cull it, because you will know it does not fit God's plan. And that is ever important in this generation. It's important that your prayers are answered, yes. It's important that you have that close walk with your Father, that you're able to claim the promises to Him, put Him in memory of it, and He'll keep His word. But you got to show Him, okay? But most of all, get your mind working whereby you recognize a lie when you hear it. There are divinations of glory. See that you're not divined out of your rights. And I'm not talking about God's divine presence. I'm talking about that other king. Don't let him shortchange you. Stay in His word. Your Father loves you. Your Father cares. Let's finish the last verse. Verse 27, thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Do you know what this word teachers is? Your interpreters. Your interpreters have misled you. Those that would interpret what God says. You interpret it. You have the tools. You know how to do it. You've been taught. Verse 28, therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary. You can change that word, princes. It's preachers, friend. You don't have a prince in the sanctuary. A sanctuary is the church. And he's talking about bad preachers. And if they're bad, they're bad. Like it or lump it. And have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Misleading, misleading. Check it out for yourself, friend. It's yours to do. It's His word. And you're His child. So that's up to you. All in your hands. So, let's approach His throne. Father, we thank You, Father, for this written word. Thank You for guiding us, Father. Thank You for that word. Be a blessing